This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
This is the field where the battle did not happen, where the unknown soldier did not die. This is the field where grass joined hands, where no monument stands. And the only heroic thing is the sky. And the only heroic thing is the sky. Birds fly here without any sound, unfolding their wings across the open. No people killed or were killed on this ground, hallowed by neglect, with an air so tame that people celebrate it by forgetting its name. This is the field where the battle did not happen, where the unknown soldier did not die. This is the field where grass joined hands, where no monument stands. And the only heroic thing is the sky. And the only heroic thing is the sky.
John Gorka, here in our studio at the Folk Show.
Yeah, nice to be back here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. That was on your last album, right? The one before this one?
Right. That was on So Dark You See. And those are the words of William Stafford, American poet and pacifist. And it's a song. I put the tune to his words, and it's a song called Where No Monument Stands.
It's a great song. Really love that song.
So, yeah, I love singing those words. I try to sing that early on in the show because I just like the tone it sets. You know, I think of the audience as this kind of, as this field that where nothing bad is going to happen, you know.
It just set up an environment of safety right
away.
Right.
Try to bring people together in a thoughtful way, I guess.
So let's pretend we're at a John Gorka show, and John Gorka may say, so how many of you have not been to a John Gorka show before?
I've been asking that. Yeah, okay. I've been asking that the last few years, and I'm surprised at the number of hands that go up, you know, and I always wonder what brings people there. And so I do have a couple of songs that I do as introductory songs, and that I feel like that when the people who have seen me before see that many hands go up, they don't feel so bad about hearing maybe stories that they've heard before.
Sure.
So it brings the new people in. I don't want them to feel left out.
So if anybody raised their hand at in our folk show community, there's probably a couple hands that went up.
Yeah.
So introduce yourself to them.
Okay, I will do that. I've got a couple songs that would work, but this one works the best, I think, the most effective one. And it's a song about where I'm from, and it captures the attitude that underlies a lot of my songs. Maybe not that last one because that was William Stafford's words. All right, here we go. This is, I'll sing the song. I'm from New Jersey. I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust. I'm from New Jersey. No, I don't talk that way. I watch too much TV when I was young. I'm from New Jersey.
My mom's Italian. I've read those mafia books. We don't belong. There were girls from New Jersey who had that great big hair. Once found in shopping malls, I will take you there. I'm from New Jersey. It's not like Texas, no. There is no mystery. I can't pretend. I'm from New Jersey. It's like Ohio, but even more so. Imagine that. I know which exit and where I'm bound. Tolls on the parkway, they will slow you down. New Jersey people, they will surprise you, 'cause they're not expected to do too much. They will try harder. They may go further, 'cause they never think that they are good enough. I'm from New Jersey. I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust. Yes, I would adjust. I would adjust.
John Gorka here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
And I am from New Jersey.
You were from New Jersey, and then you became a Minnesotan.
Yeah, well,
I lived in
New Jersey the first 18 years and went to school in Pennsylvania, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I stuck around that area for almost 20 years before moving to Minnesota. I often say that I couldn't take the Pennsylvania winters anymore. But I moved there. My wife is from Minnesota, so I've been there over 20 years now, and 20 years in this past January.
What made you decide to launch into this world of music?
I knew I wanted to be a writer before I knew music was going to be the way. And when I started playing guitar, I started trying to write songs right away, even when I knew a few chords, a handful of chords. But I think it was probably seeing going to Godfrey Daniels Coffee House and kind of discovering the folk world. You know, it seemed like it was the music was and the songs were better than most of what I'd heard on the radio or saw on television. And it was kind of like an extension of what I was studying in school, you know, literature. It seemed like it was literature come to life. So I started hanging around Godfrey Daniels as much as I could, going to shows and becoming a volunteer. And I felt like if I could be like one of the people who plays here, that would be the greatest thing. And fortunately, I've been able to do that. It's been about... And next month, I think it'll be 30 years since I had a kind of a non-music job.
Is it true that you're a reformed banjo player?
Oh, I still play. I'm not cured, but I always love the sound of the banjo. I played banjo before I started playing guitar, and I got the wrong kind of banjo. I got a tenor banjo, and I realized that I needed a five string to get. I really liked the bluegrass banjo. And so I got one for Christmas. My wife said, I could have the banjo, but I couldn't play it in the house.
What a gift.
Yeah.
So where do you play it?
I just try to play it when they're out of the house.
You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio, and our guest in the studio is John Gorka. John, the tune that's How Legends Are Made,
yeah,
from the album Land of the Bottom Line. What does that
mean for you? That was a song I wrote about a month after Stan Rogers died in 1983. And I got to meet Stan was one of my heroes, and I got to meet him in December of 1980. And I was the MC that night at Godfrey Daniels, and Dave Fry introduced me to him. And I was, you know, pretty starstruck. And I just, so that was about him and about being around, hanging around Godfrey's. And I think I could play that song if you'd like me to.
That'd be great.
Give
you
it
know,
a go.
Next Sunday, we've got Garnet Rogers.
Oh, well, that's great.
On the show.
Oh, please say hello for me.
He's
also one of my heroes, you know. He seems like somebody who stepped out of a Norse myth, you know. And okay, I'll see you play a song. That's how legends are made. At a place where the bands came through, some of them rang false and some rang true. I stuck around after they played to see how legends were made. There's just a few stand out in my mind. Some of them still roll, and some are lost to the grind. Now you ask me of the special ones, where all the legends have gone. There was a man who came from north of here. He could raise his voice and he could raise a beer. And when he left, the music stayed. And that's how legends are made. Surprised us to see just how high he stood. It's hard to believe someone could sang that good. We shared more gold than any band was paid, and that's how legends are made. So long, it was nice meeting you, but how do you get back to Route 22? Here. The band was a bass man with a brother on lead. There was no more, 'cause there was no need. So fine to see what they could give, 'cause legends call us to live. Came in high and they came in low, worn by the miles and fresh from home. Hard work, magic, then some tragic end, and so a legend begins. So long, it was nice meeting you, but how do you get back to Route 22 from here? I worked at a place where the bands came through. Some of them rang false and some rang true. Thank you.
worked at a place where the bands came through. Some of them rang false and some rang true. I'd stick around after they played to see how legends were made.
John Gorka here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. That's how legends are made. We're going to come back and visit some more with John Gorka in just a moment here at NHPR.
I named it Oscar after the boxer Oscar De La Hoya.
I'm Chris Henry, and this is Pam Henry, and we had a Chevy S10. We donated to public radio.
It was tough.
He had tears
in his eyes.
I cried.
Mean, it was like losing a pet or something because he was all choked up.
I think it was the greatest idea to do with the truck. It served us so well. It needed to serve another purpose.
Give your car a little extra life by donating it to NHPR. Visit nhpr.org/car donation.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and the Music Hall Loft's District Restaurant Series, presenting the Eric Bachman Trio in the Loft April 19th at 7 p.m., located in downtown Portsmouth. Tickets at themusichall.org. We're visiting in the studio with John Gorka. It's such a treat to have you here, John.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
The newest album is the 12th album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's called The Bright Side of Down.
Yeah, Bright Side of Down, yeah.
And there's a New Hampshire connection to this album,
yes,
isn't there?
Yes, there is. I do a Bill Morrissey song on Bright Side of Down. And I could probably play that song, too. It's one of my favorites. I guess I met Bill. I was working for Sing Out magazine. It moved from New York City to Easton, Pennsylvania, where I was living, and I started volunteering there. And then I had a job there, actual job, and I think I met Bill was coming to meet with Mark Moss because I think they were going to do one of Bill's songs, print one of Bill's songs in the magazine, and I met him then, and got to know him over the years, and got to do the Legacy tour with him in 1989-90. Very, very funny, very, very funny person, a great artist, and a great person.
And the song that you do of his is the only cover that you do on this album.
On this one, I think
the rest are all original.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, I try to do more recent years. I've been trying to do at least one song by people whose music I admired. And
let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I was listening to Pandora, John Gorka playlist.
Uh-huh.
And one of your songs played, and then up popped Jackson Browne.
Uh-huh.
And I know that you were quoted as talking about a Jackson Browne thing that happened for you.
Oh, yeah.
About singing your songs.
Well, yeah. I love Jackson Browne's songs. I felt like that, you know, his songs were more about my life than the ones I was trying to write. And I got to meet him at a festival in Italy a few years back. And I asked him about one of the lines, and it was a Running on Empty, but it's a line that I quote for people a lot of times. You know, they ask about advice to give. You know, what advice would you give? I remember the line: try to do what you can just to keep your love alive, and try not to confuse it with what you do to survive. And I asked him if he meant that in a general sense. You know, because he said, "Yeah, I meant that absolutely." He said. He said I was the first person to ask about that about that line.
Well, another thing that he talked about, or that you talked about, was when Jackson Browne announced at a show that he was going to do all original songs or all new songs, and there was a collective groan.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Have you ever had that happen? Or are you conscientious about that when you're doing a show?
I think of what I would like as an audience member, what I would like to hear at a show. I would like to have a mixture. I don't want to hear all, you know, I want to hear some familiar things. You know, it's nice to have new things. But I understand that I don't mind playing my old songs because they're kind of the fundamental fundamental songs, and so. But I understand how that could happen, because I know I remember something Garth Brooks, the country singer, said. I think it was one of those studio executives talking to him. He said, "You know, someday people are going to admire you most for what you did a long time ago. You know, something along those lines." And that was kind of a surprising statement. So, for me, I don't mind I don't mind doing the old songs, but I'm always interested in learning new songs and also writing new songs. But I kind of understand how that could happen. You know, because I remember going to a Boz Scaggs show where he played all new material, and that was the audience was disappointed, and I was one of those people.
it must feel good when you ask for suggestions and people throw them out.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's nice that they're not calling out other people's songs. You know, so.
They're not saying, "I want to hear Bill Morrissey."
Yeah, more Bill Morrissey, right. More Bill.
I could play
a Bill song. But one of the things Bill, like me, is half Polish. His other side is Irish, and he said his mother's side was Polish, and his father's side was Irish. And he used to say that he combined the luck of the Poles with the discipline of the Irish. At least that. So this is a Bill song. She's that kind of mystery. It's from a great record. If you like singer-songwriter music, you should get this record. It's called Standing Eight by Bill Morrissey. And this is She's That Kind of Mystery. You can look into her eyes and live forever. She's as restless as the sea. She's as calm as a summer dawn. She's that kind of mystery. Can write the song that wins her heart. A song will take you half the way. For you've known from the start, you'll never write the song to make her stay. Love comes in the sound of a dream, in the whisper of a prayer, the promise in a sigh. Love comes from the corner of a smile, but it isn't meant for you. She'll only stay a while. She will fall asleep within your arms. Then you will know the fear all love endures. For in the night she'll pledge her heart, but she cannot give what is not hers. Love comes from the sound of a dream, in the whisper of a prayer, the promise in a sigh. Love comes from the corner of a smile, but it isn't meant for you. She'll only stay a while. Look into her eyes and live forever. She's as restless as the sea. She's as calm as a summer dawn.
She's that kind of mystery.
John Gorka in our studio doing a tune called She's That Kind of Mystery, a Bill Morrissey tune that was included on, on John Gorka's most recent album, Bright Side of Down. That's one of your New Hampshire connections is Bill Morrissey, but another one may be Tom Pirozzoli.
Oh, right.
You know That's, Tom?
Yeah, right, Tom. Yeah, I just saw him. I just played. He runs a concert series in New London. And he's a really talented guy. He's a really talented singer-songwriter as well. He's also a painter. And he painted the covers of my last two records, So Dark You See and Bright Side of Down. And he's the one who gave me the inspiration for the title. I was telling him how I live in Minnesota and I really like my down winter coat because it's lightweight and it's warm and it packs really well. And he said, that's the bright side of down. When I realized that it was a gift, I had to write a song called Bright Side of Down.
It's a beautiful song, and it is that song really about mortality, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. And also, I was just trying to think about what advice, because I'm kind of an older dad.
You have teenagers,
yeah,
is that
right? Yeah, we have 18-year-old and 16-year-old.
Wow.
And, the world is so different now than from when my wife and I were their age. I was just trying to think, well, what kind of advice can I possibly give that would have any value in the world that's so different? I guess that's where having that title, it's definitely about mortality, yeah.
One reviewer of the album called the album classic Gorka-esque. What exactly is Gorka-esque, John?
I'm not really sure. I'm not sure that I'm the person to ask.
So. Well, one of the things that I noticed about The Bright Side of Down is there was a lot of lyric about the spring and winter.
That's definitely the a theme in there, I guess.
It seemed appropriate for us now because we're in this really strange transition time.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't really have much of a winter.
Yeah,
we had a
mild winter, too.
How was your time on the road this winter? I know Christine Levin had some challenges trying to get from Peterborough to New York City after her show because of a freak storm. But did you have anything like that?
I was pretty lucky. I think when I was in other parts of the country when the bad weather hit the various part, I was not in the bad weather areas. Sometimes I miss them just by a day but I was pretty lucky this year.
You actually wrote about challenges of being on the road,
right,
in bad weather.
I did, yeah.
I have
a song called Hold Up in Mason City, which is that was a terrifying want me to play that one?
Sure.
Okay, let's see.
We'll let John tune for the next tune and come back and visit some more with John Gorka here at New Hampshire Public Radio.
I'm Sam Evans Brown, host of Outside In, a show about the natural world and how we use it, which isn't something everybody agrees on.
I'm not moving that tea house.
There is no silver bullet to say this plant is invasive.
You pulled out a gun and said, one of these days, I'm going to take a stand against the state.
Outside In, a show about our environment that isn't black, white, or even green. Fridays at 3, starting April 22nd.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Palace Theater in Manchester, presenting An Evening with Garrison Keillor, renowned storyteller and radio personality, Tuesday, April 26th at 7 p.m. Tickets at palacetheater.org. We're visiting with John Gorka on The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. His newest album, it's his 12th recording, his 12th solo recording, that is, because he's on other compilations, but the latest one that he recorded in 2014 is called Bright Side of Down.
Yeah, and this is a song that takes place in a blizzard in Iowa. I was trying to get home. It was a blizzard coming and going. It started out with an ice storm, which gave a nice coat of things on the roads, and then the snow came down and the wind came up, and by the third day it turned into a ground blizzard, and I was trying to get home, and I was in a rented minivan that did not have snow tires, So it was not a, not a, an appropriate vehicle for that, those conditions. And so I got off the interstate, which was had become basically a sheet of ice. And I got off and safely, and I made my way to a town. It turned out to be Mason City, Iowa. And I found out afterwards, after I found the place to stay, that Mason City was the airport that Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and Ritchie Valens flew out of after their last show in Clear Lake, Iowa in February of 59. So that's both of the, two of those guys are mentioned in the song, but and this is called Hold Up in Mason City. Up in Mason City, waiting for the roads to clear. Second day of a blizzard, and winter isn't even here. I'm heading back on I-35. This part of us wanna make it home alive. I'm holed up in Mason City, the weather isn't pretty tonight. I'm holed up in Mason City, waiting for my luck to change. Thought I'd be home already, but my plans are being rearranged. First day snow flew down from the sky. Now it's crossing the fields and it's drifting high. Sudden ice up on the highway. The car is blowing sideways and I believe I'll seek some shelter. My face is helter-skelter and white. I moved over to the rumble strip, I'm driving with my flashers on. Every tenth of a mile, I'm slipping ever closer to gone. Ice blue highway, blue sky byway. Ice blue highway, blowing sideways. At the Big Bopper Diner, there's a bunch of stranded refugees. And nobody's talking or looking very eager to please. In a booth, I saw Buddy Holly's ghost, right into the girl he loved the most. I'm holed up in Mason City, the future isn't ready tonight. I'm holding up in Mason City, the future isn't ready tonight.
Thank goodness John Gorka made it out of Mason City alive.
I'm glad I made it, yeah.
Well, it's been a couple of years since the last album, Bright Side of Down.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
Well, that's kind of a, I'm just finishing work on an old, actually an old new project. My first record was called I Know. It came out in 1987. But I had made that record about three different, I was trying to make my first record three different times. My first recording attempt at making record was in Nashville in November of 1985. Nancy Griffith recommended that I contact Jim Rooney about making a record. So he agreed to produce a record, and we recorded 10 songs, recorded and mixed 10 songs in 5 days. Me mostly singing live and playing live with the other players. And I brought down a guitar player from Pennsylvania, from Bethlehem, Mike Dugan, and also Sean Colvin and Lucy Kaplansky came down to sing. And so we recorded and ended up not coming out because I'm not really sure why. I guess it didn't seem like the direction I wanted to go at the time. I'm not exactly sure what the reason was, but I guess I was just kind of finding my way. And so the tapes went from the multi-track tapes went from Nashville to Bethlehem and to then New York City and Michigan, and eventually made it to my garage in Minnesota. And and I thought, well, maybe I should, you know, give a listen to these things, see if the tapes are even still playable. And took them to the real studio in Minneapolis, and listened to it. And it was like, hey, this sounds pretty good. And they were playable, but if we were going to actually work on them to listen, we would have to bake the tapes in order that. So that's what we did. Baking the tapes is sometimes they would put the tapes actually in the oven, but use a hair dryer to dry out.
You didn't
out.
Do it yourself?
No, I didn't do that. No,
you see with a hair dryer.
Yeah, Rob Genetic did that, and to make the particles adhere to the mm-hmm. tape. Otherwise, they get sticky. So anyway, we were able to get them in a playable condition and transferred it to computer. And did a new mix of things, and I think it sounds pretty good. So it's
great.
It's mostly these are songs that 9 out of 10 songs turned out on I Know. So they're not unfamiliar songs, but they're all new recordings.
Sure.
People that have not
they're
recordings
new mixes of them.
Yeah, new actual new recordings and new mixes, new
sure.
new performances, the original performances of these songs. And and so that I think it's going to be called Before Beginning, and it'll probably be out in the fall.
I bet you have a lot of tapes in storage.
I've got a bunch of things that that's one of the things I want to do also after this is turn it. I've got odds and ends of things that never made it onto records. So I'm thinking about gathering them, getting them out, and but I'm also looking forward to getting this out so I can work on new material, new songs.
John Gorka is going on a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
The new album again that's coming out in the fall is called Before Beginning.
Before Beginning, it'll come out on Red House. Yeah, I think that's when the audio. Rob Genetic, the engineer, sent me the final mastering version. I haven't been able to listen to it. I haven't figured out how to play it on my phone. But when I get home, that'll be the last thing. And the couple things about the cover, I haven't seen the final version of the cover. So I hope, I don't know if people will be interested. I think there's some nice playing on it, and there's a different kind of energy.
And it's got Lucy and Sean on it.
Yeah, they're both singing on it.
Was it Sean Colvin that helped you out on Houses in the Fields?
Yeah, she sang it. Yeah. They both, but Lucy and Sean sang on that one, yeah.
That was beautiful.
They're the singing is so great, and that was fun. And there's some the nice players on there. Stuart Duncan plays, and it was one of his first studio sessions as a studio musician. Because there's some very nice playing on there. So I hope people will like it. It's different than the different arrangements and different. There's saxophone on some things, so that's some different sounds.
Sure. Last time you were here, John, you were with Eliza Gilkison and Lucy Kaplansky in mm-hmm. her studio. Are you still doing some shows with them now and then?
I haven't done any shows in a while with them. I'm going to be doing the Eliza Gilkison has a song school at her place in outside of Taos, New Mexico. Called La Casa de Musica, and I'll be there again this year as a songwriting person, and and Lucy, I'll see next month. There's a show at the City Winery of in celebration of Bob Dylan's 75th birthday, and I think it's a couple of days before his actual birthday.
Wow, it's hard to believe, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
We're all getting a little older. I'm not getting any smarter, but I'm definitely getting older.
Yeah, yes, it's a. Oh.
I should speak for myself.
Oh,
John,
no,
sorry.
No, I was just going to try to agree with you, but I wasn't able to get the words out.
This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and we get to hang out today with John Gorka. It's such a treat to have had you in our studio. I hope you'll do it again.
Oh, I'd love to come back. Yeah, thank you.
You want to leave us with one last song, John?
Yeah, let me see. Think about this one. I got to do a couple shows with Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary a couple months ago, and we got to sing some songs together. I got to sing Blowing in the Wind with him, and This Land is Your Land, and If I Had a Hammer. So that was a real thrill to sing those songs with him. But one of the songs we did was 500 Miles, which I guess was on the Peter, Paul, and Mary's first record. And so that song's kind of been haunting me, so I'd like to give that a go here, if I may.
And we'll invite our listeners to sing along.
That's right, sing along. And if you're playing along at home, it's in the key of D. If you miss the train I'm on, you will know that I am gone. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles. 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles. Lord, I'm one, Lord, I'm two, Lord, I'm three, Lord, I'm four, Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home. 500 miles, 500 miles, 500 miles, 500 miles, Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home. Not a shirt on my back, not a penny to my name. Lord, I can't go home this away. This away, this away, this away, this away. Lord, I can't go home this away. If you miss the train I'm on, you will know that I am gone. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles. 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles.
Safe travels, John Gorka.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot for having me on.
This is NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Granite State Human Resource Conference, April 26th and 27th at the Center of New Hampshire in Manchester. Information and registration online at gshrconference.org.
I'm Sam Evans Brown. You may have heard about NHPR's new show, Outside In. It's a program that's all about the natural world and how we use it. But what does it sound like?
Like that.
And a little bit like this. And like this, too. Outside In. Listen for The Call of the Wild on Fridays at 3, starting April 22nd.